Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinkin' Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Yeah! Welcome to Drinkin' Bros. Kids, look, we started this media company, what, 2.5 years ago now, Dan?
About two and a half years ago.
And we keep adding shows to the network, shows that we think are fascinating, shows that we think you guys will love, and niches that we feel are underserved. Our show that is next to debut on our network is a show called Failure to Stop with two former police officers, Mike the Cop and Eric Tanzi. That'll be running off of Mike the Cop's YouTube page, the video. And then the audio will be on iTunes and Spotify and all that other fun stuff starting on Friday. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Giddy up. I'm ready to roll.
Guns up. Let's do this. I don't know. I had to come up with something. He has giddy up. I've been toying with other things.
I like guns up. That's a fun one.
Guns up, dicks out. Oh, can I say that on YouTube?
I don't know.
You can figure that out. You can say whatever you want, actually.
You can say whatever you want. Whether or not they're going to monetize you for it is another story. But you can definitely say whatever you want.
I don't think they care about dicks out because dicks out is most closely associated with the Harambe situation.
R.I.P.
Pretty much everybody is Harambe friendly, I think. There aren't a whole lot of, other than Fake Dan, there aren't a whole lot of Harambe haters out there.
No. I don't know one except for him.
Yeah. But so he's just a contrarian. That's why he likes to bet on golf, because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
That's it. It has nothing to do with money.
Hates Harambe. Who could hate Harambe?
That's what I don't understand, man.
Well, he's from Philly.
He's Delco.
He's a Philly sports fan. Right. What do you expect?
He deserved it, so.
He did not. He was saving that child. I've watched that footage probably 2,000 times. I can't remember a morning that I woke up and didn't watch it. With you guys, I mean, look, you were professional police officers at one point. You were now retired.
Can you be a semi-pro?
Professional is optional. Can you be a police officer for sure?
Can you be a semi-professional police officer?
You can be a mall cop, or you can do the
police officer.
What's the neighborhood volunteer thing where you're the neighborhood police officer?
Oh yeah, neighborhood watch.
There it is.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking about starting a very aggressive neighborhood watch, but really it's just me trolling the fuck out of everybody.
I'm gonna start the blue berets in my neighborhood, kind of like the Guardian Angels. Yeah. What, you know how they had the red berets? It'll be the blue berets.
But start writing people tickets. Actually, what we should do a crossover with Queer Eye, where they penalize people for not having their lawn looking nice and their house looking nice. Like, they actually get to come into your home, and if you've got weird, like if you still got shag carpet, they're like, all right, that's a $50 fine, so you got to get that shit out of here.
So outside the house, they do that. HOAs do that. But inside the house.
It's relatively, like, the rules are pretty lax. Right, for the most part. Some places have weird rules about flags and shit like that, which we've run into before. But for the most part, it's like, mow your lawn. You can't paint your house bright pink or whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure you guys have gotten those calls, though, from neighbors and pissed off neighbors. And you're just like, dude.
Oh, my gosh. People putting a single leaf on the other side of the piece of a property, or shoveling snow back and forth at each other. Yeah. Nonsense.
Hatfield and McCoy's has taken on a whole new thing. Now it's YouTube versus fucking TikTok, right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Hey, when are you going to fight a TikToker, Mike?
Hey, anytime. I can't do it, but I got invited to some jiu-jitsu grappling tournament called it's like High Times or High Rollers, that's what it is. A bunch of people get high and then grapple, and they're doing a cops versus stoners edition in September, but I can't do it. I'm like, dang it, that'd be pretty interesting.
You mean you don't have the time to do it, or what do you mean?
I feel like I would clear my schedule.
I already have plans on that one. That.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
that'd be fun.
What about a high cop?
That's a great question.
I don't know the rules
on that. Yeah, Tanzi, have you ever worked with someone who was high when you were on the job, and you were like, that guy's been smoking weed.
Like, where the cop was high?
Yeah.
No, but I did have a rookie. He didn't make it, and he wasn't my rookie. He was another rookie, but he came to me because I'm like the I'm like the Ross Patterson to Dan Holloway. Like, I'm approachable. You can come to me. You can come and talk to me. And he was like, hey, man, I think I really fucked up tonight. And I was like, what's going on, bro? He's like, I took some medication before I came in. I said, what medication did you take? And he was like, Tylenol, but it was accidentally PM. And I go, shit, homie, how much did you fucking take?
Yeah.
And he was like, the recommended dose. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, it was the recommended dose. And I was like, all right, hold on. So I call my Sarge. I tell him the whole thing. And I say, look, we got to fuck with this guy. He thinks he's fucked.
Yeah, there's no way you can let him
He calls him. He's like, how much have you driven tonight? And has your body camera been on at any moment? And he's like, yes, it has. It has. And they're like, how far did you drive? He was like, miles. I don't know. 60, 75 miles. And he was like, pull your car over right now. We'll have somebody come get you. We have to piss you right now. The kid was freaking out. Of course, like, nobody gives a shit. No, he wasn't high. We were just joking with him.
But. That's fucking hilarious, dude. Can you still get away with shit like that today? Or is everybody on the up and up where there's no fun to be had? That's what it feels like.
We did shame that guy. We did shame that guy into quitting. And he's probably the very few. I never was a part of those behaviors in the police department, but that was one guy. It was just, he was too stupid to be a cop. And I have more stories about him than any other cop in existence. I think he made it a year and a half. Thank God he's gone. But he was just, he was one of those
poor guy's watching right now in his life.
Well, you know what? He's too stupid to be a cop. He just, there's no way. And listen, I can train anything. I could have trained Harambe to be a great police officer. This guy, untrainable, just too stupid.
I understand it. I understand. Some people, you're just like, all right, you'll never get this. Just get the fuck out of here. Just get the fuck out of here. Mike, with you in this show in particular, what I enjoy about this format is because you guys are both off the force, you guys will be able to say whatever the fuck it is you want about all of these cases and defund the police and everything that is going on in the media today. I feel like this is a niche that is underserved. I don't know anybody else that's really doing this. I know some guys that are still on, but they really can't talk about what's going on. Will you guys be talking about like the Chauvin trial and everything else to kind of walk everybody through it? Because Dan and I have covered this shit, but we're not police officers, so we don't really know. We're taking somewhat educated guesses, but they are guesses. You guys actually live that life. Is that what you'll be getting into on a week-by-week basis?
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope like whatever it is that that's the wave coming through that week, because there's always a wave on the news about law enforcement. And yeah, man, we'll grab our boards and hang 10 or whatever.
Yeah,
that's stupid analogy, but
horrible analogy. But it'd be cool to hear the real shit of it, because look. On the news every single week, I feel like there is a massive police story. And, you know, they're saying, oh, he did this, show the body cam. Let's see everything that happened. Like the cop in Columbus, for example, right? Did he do the right thing with the girl who's
talking about the one that, like, stabbing. Shot the girl?
Yep. They showed up and she's trying to stab that other girl. Was that the right thing to do?
I think you've got to wait and make sure that she's actually trying to stab her, that she's not playing a fun game. She gets a couple of pokes first, and you're like, all right, we've demonstrated now. You're talking right into your body cam. We demonstrated now that she intended to stab this woman. Now I'm going to go handle it. And then you call in the counselor.
Yeah.
And the counselor talks to them for a while, and as she's stabbing her, right?
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
I think what's important about our show and when we talk about things like that is that I think what the media and a lot of civilians don't understand is the emotions that go behind things. It's the training that go behind. It's the totality of the circumstances. So when you go into you know, what happened in Columbus, you're trained to see just the hands, right? So you're not looking at the, you know, particularly the age of this female. You're not looking at, there's a lot of things that you're not looking at because you have been trained to look at those hands and the behaviors. And so all you see is, it's a very unbiased picture. You see a hand, you see a knife, and you see that knife heading for somebody's gut.
Mm-hmm.
You're trained, that's, you pull the trigger, right? Like that's what you're trained to do. And so what society wants us to see is, oh, well, that's, you know, a female who, you know, was in gymnastics and she was really good like 15 years ago.
She just got a B+ on her science quiz.
No, you guys missed that part. You didn't even see that she got a B+ on her science quiz, which show me the quiz. I don't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys laugh like later on, like amongst yourselves when they have these horrific people that they're trying to either celebrate or make them become martyrs, and then they always find like a baby picture of them, And it's like, dude, that doesn't look anywhere near like the person that was in that fucking video. They always find that one like 15-year-old picture of them where they had so much promise and a huge smile, like the girl we were talking about in Columbus. She was violently trying to stab somebody.
Yeah.
My favorite is when they bring the witness up, and the witness is like, she was such a good kid, and she was going to college. But then, like, you arrested her for fighting that girl, right, like, 3 weeks prior. And she was like, that bitch, that fucking whore. You know? And so, like, now they've swip-swapped, and you see them on the news, and you're like, holy shit, hang on. That bitch hates that girl. Why? Yeah.
Was it the narrative that the woman with the knife had been, or the young woman, I suppose, with the knife, had been bullied by those other women that were involved in the scuffle? That was my understanding.
Yeah, supposedly that was like the counter narrative, was that she had actually been threatened and was like defending herself.
Which is that is an important thing to bring up, because then you can demonstrate that just because somebody verbally threatens you, you can't stab them.
Right.
Motherfucker, are you kidding
me? What if their words bother you? Can you stab them then?
I don't think so.
I think that should be allowed.
I mean, even like something to constitute assault in certain states, like California, for example, I can say I'm going to fucking launch a nuclear weapon at your house every day until you're fucking dead, motherfucker. And that's, I haven't committed a crime yet because I don't have access to nuclear weapons.
Right.
If I'm in California, if I told you I'm going to crack you in the head with a fucking baseball bat and I don't have a bat in my hand at the time or somewhere nearby, that doesn't constitute assault in California.
Yeah. Right? If you said that on Facebook, it doesn't count as an actual threat.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I was watching a thing today, and it was all about civil review boards and things. And one of the new laws that they're trying to get passed in the civil review board is passive aggressive verbal assaults.
What?
Okay.
Yes. That, which means like, if you try to say something to me, like in regards to having a discussion about, and this was predominantly about race, that on the civil review board, if I was on the civil review board and you were a cop and I asked you a racial question and you chose not to answer it, or you blew me off or made a face, that is a passive aggressive assault.
Nonverbal disrespect is what it's called.
And you're threatening.
Code of Military Justice.
I learned
justice
about that from Benjamin Boyce on one of his podcasts.
Benjamin Boyce.
He had a female name, Kimmy Katati.
Really?
That might be passive aggressive assault for calling her Katati when it could be Katiti. I don't know. I don't know the name.
Passive aggressive assault. I mean, what the fuck does that mean? Like, how far down are we going to... What we're doing is we're elevating the importance of people's emotions and taking facts and making them we're taking the facts of the case is making them not relevant anymore.
Right.
Like, it's not about what happened. It's about who the person is. I remember this guy.
It's how people feel, man.
Yeah. There was some guy that said something about judging people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Right.
Who was that? Was that
I don't remember.
James Brown? Frank.
I think that was Rodney King, right?
Rodney King said that.
Brilliant man.
He said it to Pete Rose. I just
kind of celebrity softball tournament
before he was not allowed into the Hall of Fame.
I just Kaiser associate all you guys because Pete Rose is on the desk over here. No, but it's fucking stupid. I mentioned this book. Yeah. Well, don't start with that shit again. I bring this book up all the time, but The Coddling of the American Mind is one of the best books that exists right now that discusses how, as a society, we have begun to accept and even honor the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, which are to catastrophize, meaning everything is the worst thing that's ever happened, to emotionally reason, which means your feelings matter more than the facts. Like, we've taught our children to do this, and that it not only is it okay to do it, but you get clout, you get rewarded, you get a dopamine hit from doing that.
Well, when the society values as many intersections of victimization as you can claim, then, of course, you celebrate it, which is why, like, some tragedy happens and the comments are, OMG, I used to live there 4 years ago. That could have been me. And now they want sympathy because they drove past an intersection 4 years ago where somebody died.
Yeah.
And
it's like, oh man, I'm so sorry that you're experiencing this fourth hand years later.
I call it oppression FOMO. It's fear of missing out on oppression. All these, this is what Antifa is born from. It's all these white children from the Pacific Northwest that have never faced any real hardship in their life, but they see other people facing hardship in a time where having faced hardship is one of the most valuable things you can have as a personality trait, apparently, right?
Is it too extreme to say, like, what we should do as a society is line up all boys from age 11 to 15 and punch them all in the face to start, like, rebuilding society?
Oof. I just had this conversation the other day. Yeah, it is.
It's a lot deeper than that, though. I mean, we're seeing this isn't just a societal or a cultural thing, rather. This is a physiological thing. The average testosterone has dropped 40% in the last 10 years. It's dropped like 60% since 2000. We're having a huge problem. It's for military dudes, it's traumatic brain injury and burn pits. For everybody else, it's the plastics that we come into contact with, the food and the hormones that have upset our natural hormone production. Society is fucked hormonally right now, big time. And you're seeing the fucking results of it.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I mean, it's unbelievable the shit you're seeing these days. And it seems like all these people are incredulous about, can you believe this? Yeah, I could fucking believe it. Because I've gone through that low T period, and I felt like I was losing my goddamn mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, if you've ever been around a female the week before a period, the premenstrual part, or when she's pregnant, hormones, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. If your hormones are out of balance, you're going to get crazy.
Oh yeah, dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now imagine being a cop and just trying to having to identify that.
Yeah, like how do you identify
it? How do you identify it? And that's the other thing about my interest in a show like yours is, how do you guys identify all this shit in split seconds of time when the rest of society was like, wow, it's mental health problems. You should have known this. You should have known that. You're walking into a crazy fucking situation every goddamn day that requires split second decisions. How should you have known their whole goddamn backstory?
Exactly. I don't know that's even a new problem for the perception of what cops think or do or whatever, but it's all we continue to do is add layer upon layer upon layer of responsibility to cops when, and I agree, cops shouldn't be doing dumb bullshit. They shouldn't be going to neighbors, you know, putting snow on each other's driveways and getting mad at each other. Like, fuck that stuff. That's fine. Like, send somebody else to that. That's good. Let's grow up. But at the same time, it's like people just keep saying, okay, now you should recognize how to handle a marriage dispute. Now you need to know how to handle this 14-year-old that won't go to school.
Right.
Now you need to know how to handle this. And you can't use violence. You can't use physical decisions to solve the problems, because you have to approach it differently in this modern age. And we're setting up completely unrealistic expectations for any human to deal with any situation.
Right. I honestly think that police organizations should start releasing the body cam footage from dealing with those domestic violence situations, because you're always going to see one of a few different things. You'll see the woman that refuses to press charges, right? That he's a good man, woman. You'll see the woman that when you try to restrain the clearly violent male partner, she attacks you from fucking behind.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what the fuck, man? You think this is some kind of easy situation to figure out? Like, everybody is goddamn a mind reader out there. You know what I mean? Come on, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, with the policing and the amount of, you know, people say that cops only work a certain amount of the days, or that, you know, that's not true. We work all the time because we're constantly having to be retrained on crisis intervention training. We're having to be trained on autism awareness, which these are all great things that you should be trained on. But what if you haven't had that training yet and you don't have those bullet points to identify that problem? Are you still held responsible? Are you still held accountable for missing those? You know, I like to say that when we watch a quarterback on, and you're big sports guys, I'm not, but you watch a quarterback during a game and he throws an interception, right? And then you have the other quarterback who's retired and he's on ESPN and he's saying, well, what he's doing is he's checking that linebacker. And his first check is, if that linebacker shifts left, then he's going to go to his second read, which is going to be this guy coming across the middle. And then if the safety drops back, he's going to go to his third read and he's going to launch a bomb. But if he misses one of those checks, he throws an interception, right? And so that's why they brought on these retired guys to kind of explain to people that these quarterbacks aren't just throwing the ball away because they feel like throwing an interception.
Yeah.
But I feel like police officers, it's the same thing. So if you miss a certain check, now you're held responsible and accountable for everything else going to shit and throwing that interception.
Yeah, but what about there's a good analogy here. The Chauvin trial, there were professional police consultants outside of the local police force that said that the tactics used, there was one guy specifically that said that the tactics used against Chauvin were within policy. Is that true?
Yeah, they ended up actually being everything that he did. Even the chief had to admit that he could have actually used more force, and he didn't. And that was kind of like an interesting bombshell that came out during the trial. From what the media would tell you, is that everything he did was within Minneapolis Police Department policy and training, and he could have done even more. So
how did he end up convicted of second degree murder?
And I've heard you speak on this several times before about you're in the military and you've never put your knee on somebody's neck, and that's
right.
That's all fine and dandy, but as a cop, I have put my foot on somebody's forehead. So in a three-man takedown, when somebody has ingested fentanyl, and mind you, I had a young man die in my back.
Somebody with excited delirium, for example, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about, excited delirium. And I've had a lot of occasions, but I had a young man die in the backseat of one of the police vehicles that I was involved in. And, of course, my gun and my badge were taken away I want to say it was like 2 months. Of course, we all got cleared in the investigation. We got our stuff back and everything was great. But with the training that you have, because you don't want somebody to die in your backseat, right? These guys aren't telling you the truth. Sir, did you just swallow dope? What did you just swallow? Oh, I didn't swallow anything. I didn't swallow nothing. Well, sir, I saw you swallow something. What was it? Oh, it was a little bit of weed. You know, and then all of a sudden they start fading out in your backseat. Then you got to pull the car over and you call 911 and then, you know, they're dead. And then, you know, of course, they have the riots, which is what happened in my case. There was the riots up and down the street. Mm-hmm. You know, this officer didn't do enough or these officers didn't do enough. And then they play out the tape and see that. What else can you do? Right. Just because you see somebody swallow something, are we going to take them to the hospital and not take them to jail every time?
Right.
Because then you have the problem with the suspect just saying it every time. Whoa, swallow dope.
Right.
Take me to the hospital. Don't take me to jail. And you can't hold me in custody for more than 8 hours without seeing a magistrate or whatever the rules may be. So when you have the three-man takedown with the whole fentanyl thing, and Mike, you can have your own opinion on this. That's great. I'm just going from what my opinion is that, you know, you were trained. The first man is going to come by and he's going to grab the ankles of the gentleman. The other two officers are going to grab one arm and they're going to lower the guy to the ground. It's a three-man takedown. I'm sure you've learned it in the military. We've all learned it in law enforcement. And that's what it is on paper, right?
Right.
Does that make sense
to
you?
Yeah. But once you get there.
So you have this and you lower him down. Right, and it never works out that way. You know, it usually ends up having a spear tackle and a little bit of wrestling. But the man who's got the feet, he's going to look back and away. And why is he going to look back and away? Because if he looks forward, he's going to start taking the heel of the man's feet to your chin. You're going to lose teeth. So you turn your head away to kind of deflect those kicks from the feet. And then the two guys are going to move the arms around the back, and they're going to handcuff him. And then the other officer is going to detain the hips, and the other officer is going to move to the head and detain the head. And now you've got a guy that's laid out straight, and therefore he can't, you know, it's going to slow down the effects of this overdose of this excited delirium. Mm. And that's what you're trained to do. And then you're going to wait for the response of an ambulance. The average response in my city, Raleigh, is 6 to 8 minutes. How long was Chauvin on the ground?
Yeah, about eight minutes.
8:30, 8:40, something like that.
8:39 or something like
so
that.
So we're in that window of 6 to 8 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to hold them. Now, if I were to put my palms on the gentleman's forehead as trained, then I have no access to my radio, my pepper spray, my gun. I have no access to anything. Okay. Now, if you watch the show, if you watch the videos there for George Floyd, you see a very unruly crowd yelling, "Get off of him. He ain't done nothing wrong." Blah, blah, blah. It's a very hostile crowd, which is just something we all face in the inner cities. They're always going to be against the cop, of the police. There was a cop in Jacksonville that was just jumped by a horde of folks. So it happens, right? This isn't just something made up. In the military, this would not happen because you have a squad with you, right? When you're detaining.
Well, there's also the very real threat of lethal force without due process in a combat situation, which is not the case, hopefully, in America from a police officer, right?
Well,
that changes things a lot.
Because,
I mean, like the average Iraqi is worried about getting shot in the face, right?
By my body armor. I had a suspect on the ground and somebody came up behind me, grabbed my body armor from behind.
No, I'm talking about the opposite. I'm talking about the average Iraqi dude, for example, is worried I'm going to shoot him in his fucking face. Whereas the average American person maybe to some degree they believe shit like that, but they don't believe if they're just writhing around on the ground, they're going to get capped because otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? They're making a scene.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So it definitely complicates the issue, the fact that they're not, that lethal force isn't a real threat to them. I think. So not that it should be. I'm just saying it complicates
it. I feel like what he did was what I would have done, because when those things start to happen, I move, and then I want access to all my equipment. And especially with COVID going on, Floyd was spitting on him. He was trying to bite him. These are all documented facts. And so are you going to put your hands on somebody's forehead, somebody's sweaty forehead on the ground while they're trying to bite you and spit you and claiming that they have COVID?
Which he did, by the way.
An easier tactic is to place your knee. Now, listen, perception is terrible, and I'm not arguing that. But we as police officers and shit, as American citizens, we should know, and I know that every cop is taught from the beginning, perception is not reality. Meaning if I walk into your studio and Ross has got a knife in his chest and you're standing there with blood all over you, I don't get to arrest Dan Holloway for murder because the perception is it looks like he murdered Ross Patterson. No, what I do is I get all the witnesses in there. I talk to Giorgio and Dan and Bob and all those guys, and they say, shit, dude, he tried to get the knife out of his chest. He was trying to give him CPR, and the guy that killed him's already out the door, right? Yeah. So perception isn't reality. And the perception of what Chauvin did to Floyd, the perception was terrible. But how do you know what kind of force he had on his neck? I can put my knee on your toe and you will not even know it's there. And then if you start to wiggle your toe, I can clamp down on your toe. And my posture, people won't even know that they don't know the weight shift in my body. I mean, by my posture.
Yeah, but you would think the autopsy would have shown esophageal bruising and things like that, right? If it indeed was restricting the airway.
Right.
And I don't
know. Well, it turns out that when what the media didn't have is the actual body cam from Chauvin, where it shows him repeatedly moving the knee off of
the over neck and over, area like four separate times.
It wasn't 9 minutes of pressure down on like his neck. It was a constant moving back and forth and shifting during that time. So that was another thing that really, and I mean, we'll break this down in greater detail for like start to finish, probably like what, episode 2 or something like that. Go through that. But like that, even for me, just because it just looked so bad, that I feel like I made the mistake of jumping the gun even on kind of like that feeling of, man, this is some bad shit. Mm. And I've had to walk that back as I walked through the trial. I'm like, yeah, even I was guilty of knowing what I know, saying, man, I made an opinion before really I knew all of the facts.
Somebody thing about our show is that we're going to go through the totality of things. We're going to look at the time of day. We're going to look at the emotions behind things before we just make a judgment. We're not out here to Monday morning quarterback and say, like, you suck. You threw an interception because you're a terrible quarterback. No, we're going to try to figure out why did somebody run the wrong route? Right. Did you miss that first check, which is your fault? Was it a coaching error? What really happened? What was the totality? And I think that, you know, the problem is that what most cops face is that we're all out there to do a good job every single day. And when you're chasing people through the streets, which is very emotionally exhausting as far as physically exhausting. I mean, you were chasing people in through backyards when there's dogs, you're going over fences. When you tackle somebody on the road, there's always going to be blood from you and from him. There's going to be exchanging of fluids. And when you're doing this day in and day out,
Whoa.
A little bit of,
Don't add another layer of criminality to this.
And so, you know, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of things that play into a lot of the things that go on the street that citizens really just, you know, in a civil review board, and I would love to talk about civil review boards because I've done a lot of research on both ends, on why civilians want the civil review board and then why the police don't. And I think there's just a disconnect between police and civilians when it comes to that I think that somebody needs to bridge. And it sucks that two cops are going to have to bridge that gap and try to talk the language to both, because I think some cops are being pretty unreasonable and some unions are being unreasonable. And I think the citizens are also being unreasonable. And so there's nobody coming saying that, say, like, okay, what is a smart way to do things? How can cops and citizens communicate? Because ultimately, that's what's going on in this country, is that the two aren't communicating.
Right. I mean, it's not just that the two groups aren't communicating. It's that the advocates of both are intentionally instigating between one another. You know what I mean? It's but it's, you know, it's classic divide
total lack of empathy. Bullshit. Total lack of empathy on both sides.
When somebody in the chat, James Dante, said George Floyd died, isn't that proof enough it was too much pressure? Now, that's a fair question to ask. But again, total, and you guys will break this down more. next Friday, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, next Friday. Because I don't, and the reason why, and we're giving a sneak peek of this, if you will, is I haven't heard it from professionals. I haven't heard it from cops, especially that are retired, because let's face it, everybody who's on right now will not fucking talk about
this. Not unless
this
you're in some
story.
Small sheriff's department in the middle of nowhere with where the cancel culture can't touch you.
Like, yeah. If
you're
in
a
man,
I had a friend of mine that I used to work with just got fired recently for making a joke during a defensive tactics training about George Floyd. He cracked a joke about like he couldn't breathe or something like that. Boom, gone. So cops are like, they're not going to say anything about that.
No, I mean, I tried to call a couple of cops this week, kind of letting them know, hey, we're Mike and Cop and I are doing a show. And all of a sudden, like, these are like really close friends. They're like, yo, like, honestly, I'm not saying shit. I'm not saying shit because they don't want to get caught up.
I didn't see nothing.
Fired.
I didn't hear no. It's like anything. It's like the inverse of the ghetto. It's like the police ghetto.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
No one heard anything. No one saw anything.
I'm like, hey, is it true that there's two black men and a black female that have made it to the final runnings of chief for Raleigh Police Department? And it was the same 4 years ago when there was a new one with the chief. It was two black males and a white female. Do you feel that there's equality there? Well, I'm not in. No.
No. Right. No, nobody's going to answer that, which is why we've got to ask you guys. We got to ask you guys. Mike, with your following, because you have over 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, very close to that on Instagram. I feel like every police officer I've met knows you or follows you. Do you get inside tips into your Instagram or things like that? Do people hit you up and be like, hey, now you can't say who I am, but that case you saw, here's what happened.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely happened where people reach out and say, hey, I was there. I was at this thing. You know, I don't want to give my name. I don't want this, but you said this and it really wasn't that, it was this. And that's a huge advantage for me. And it's also true. I think that's another huge perception thing is that, I mean, you guys know this, that so you've been in media long enough too.
Yeah.
The news never, ever, I was a cop for 11 years. There was not one news story that was a part of a case that I was ever a part of, including sitting through a murder trial where the news at the end of the day reported it accurately. Like it never, it always had something wrong, always.
Right.
And so that same thing happens with social media where people are posting whatever it is that they think has happened. And then it turns out that there's all sorts of like little pieces of backstory and context that are completely missing from most people's perception.
Well, the first casualty of war is the truth, right? That's a pretty famous quote. Yeah. And make no mistake, we're in a war right now. It's not a war. It's not a hot war. It's a cold war of ideas. And the ideas being pushed are that the institutions that protect America, police, military, masculinity at large, are somehow intrinsically evil. They need to be fucking kiboshed or done away with entirely. And it's simply not true. It's fucking nonsense, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Marxism.
Yeah, it is. It's nonsense. Masculinity is not toxic. Fucking weakness is toxic. Think about the people in your lives. Think about the real men in your lives. Versus the fucking, I'm a good guy. I don't understand why nobody fucking dates me. That guy. That guy who's a shady cunt all the time. And he pretends to be nice for favors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's weakness. And that's what's destroying us. We can't have an honest conversation about this shit. Like the Breonna Taylor thing. I understand the George Floyd situation looked the way it looked and blah, blah, blah. Breonna Taylor was at her fucking boyfriend's house, who was a drug dealer, who shot at police and they returned fire and hit her, and somehow this is a reason to burn down a city.
Right.
When even after the fact,
well, you know, even
after the fact, we found out that she was like moving the money around for
podcast post. And they were talking about police reform and things. And they just kept bringing up Breonna Taylor as if she was just some completely innocent.
Say her name. A lot of NBA guys in the bubble playoffs last year had say her name or Breonna Taylor on their jersey. Like, sorry, man.
Yeah.
She was a fucking like we can talk about the social situations that would have led to a young woman like that feeling like she needed to engage in the drug trade. Maybe that's a conversation to have. Maybe she's a shitbag. Maybe she felt like she had to. We can have that conversation. But whether or not we can have a conversation about was she involved in the drug trade, absolutely yes.
Yeah.
Like we have 100% evidence to that effect, that she was moving the guy's money around, making deals for him, so on and so forth. She was at his house. He fired at police. Fire got returned and hit her.
Yeah, but in a world where individual responsibility cannot be claimed, you can't hold people individually responsible because of exactly what you just said, which is that now the construct, well, again, it's Marxist, that there are evil classes, and by definition, Brianna is a victim of those classes. They have already oppressed her, and that pushed her into that situation, leaving her no choice but to be a turd.
Right.
And you know, I was watching some news articles, and there's a sergeant in Houston, and they were, and I don't know why a sergeant is talking to the news media. I know in my department, he would be fired in a heartbeat for talking to media, unless you were a captain or above. But one of the things I liked, that they were asking him, what about the violent crime rise in Houston, and what was the police department doing about it, and what her thoughts were. And he said that one of the things that everybody's failing to mention is that with the mass shootings and the violent crimes that's going on, not only in Houston, but in the rest of the country, comes from illegal activity from the victim as well. So what you have is you've got victims who aren't really victims, right? Like, Mike, you and I know what, like a victimless crime, as we call them. You know, if you're going to buy ounces of weed and somebody shoots you and takes your, you know, $150, you know, well, you shouldn't have been out at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to buy $150 worth of weed on Craigslist. And I'm not saying it's justified or anything like that, but
if you guys are going to buy weed and do an exchange, just use the safety zone in the police lots, usually monitored for Craigslist exchanges.
Why wouldn't you?
Stay safe, guys.
I do. I smoke weed every single day, and I do it in a safe way.
If you're going to involve yourself in illegal activity, you know, you've got to just be, it's kind of the price of playing the game, right? If I'm going to skateboard at the skate parks every day, I have to understand that at some point I'm going to scuff my elbow, I'm going to catch one on the knee, or anything more serious. But what happens is these guys, they get murdered because they were robbing a house, or their house got robbed or burgled because they had pounds and pounds of weed and meth and crack and shrooms and everything else, and some rival drug dealer decides, you know what, I'm gonna get up on that and I'm just gonna take all of his shit, and then he gets killed, and then they make him out to be this victim, and oh my gosh, he was killed, you know, for no reason. And no, he was killed for a reason. He was killed because he had fuck tons of tax money and drugs in his home, and he got burgled. So
Let me ask you this. Will you guys be going over mistakes that you guys have made on the force?
Absolutely.
Anything that's outside of the statute of limitations.
I have never made a mistake. So.
Oh, shit. I have. I'd love to talk about them.
Well, good. We'll talk about all your problems.
Yeah.
I'll go over what you should have done.
Because I'm sure there's situations you look back on and you're like, ah, shit, I could have handled that better.
So many.
Oh, for sure. Like when I went inside the wrong house and pointed guns at innocent people while I was looking for somebody that had just stabbed their mom and poured bleach on her. Oof. Yeah.
Well, at least you didn't. That woman in Dallas actually thought somebody else was in her apartment, right? And she shot that dude, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's fucked up. And then the 173rd Airborne seized a bunch of civilian property a couple of weeks ago. They were doing a field. Yeah, I think it was like an olive oil factory in Italy or some shit like that. So they were doing field exercises, but their lieutenant, it's definitely their lieutenant, took him, because lieutenants are always lost, took him to the wrong place, and they assaulted a building with Italian citizens in it. I'm sure they had blanks and shit like that, so it wasn't like anybody could have really gotten hurt. Unless one of the Italians had been armed, then they would have started murdering people, right?
Wow.
Yeah, so... not a good look.
But you know, Dan, I'm watching in the chats, and we talk about the military, and some of the guys in the chats are talking about police training and lack of training. And so just to kind of hit on what they're asking in the comments.
Well, here's the thing, Tansy. This is why this show is going to be huge. You're going to get filled with this all day long. Yeah. And everybody wants the answer. I don't think it's out of maliciousness. I think everybody wants the answer, but fire away.
Yeah, no, and I love it. I love the questions. I think they're all things that need to be answered. And so we talk about the 173rd going in and making these training mistakes, right? But that's what training is. And so when you have police officers that come right out of the academy, it would be like if you took a private out of basic training and you put him in Ramadi or Fallujah and you gave him... you put him by himself and you said, hey, look, man, if you think they're bad, you shoot them. If you don't, you don't. where does that training come? Because we know that training in the military comes far after basic training, right? Mm-hmm. The training that you get in basic training is just bare minimum. Mm-hmm. The training that you get to be a real soldier, to be a real warrior, comes from those experiences in combat, and they come from those experiences on the street. And I think it's the same way for a cop. So you have to make mistakes, because that's the only way that you're going to learn. Problem is that sometimes these younger officers, like in the Chauvin case, where those officers were all under 5 years, right? Except
Derek
Chauvin.
Yeah. He was on for 17. I think the rest were on for like four or less.
Exactly. And so that is an unreasonable amount of time to know everything and all the nuances of being a police officer. Hell, when I was a young cop, there was a guy who had spun out on the highway in a little Ford pickup truck, white pickup truck, and I pulled over. I was on my way to coffee, and he got out of his car, and I saw all of the indicators that this was a violent human being. But he was drunk, hammered, and he was bigger than me. And he was trying to get a good angle on me, and I'm trying to move around him. And I just said, you know what? Fuck this. This guy's going to beat my ass just because he's fucking drunk and driving. And he's already wrecked his fucking car, and nobody was hurt. So I said, look, homeboy, stop. I don't want you to punch me in the mouth over you getting fucking in a car accident because you were too stupid to have a plan. So take your keys, throw them into the woods, or I'll do it for you, or we can do this dance, and 700 cops in Raleigh will come, and you will go to jail at some point. The guy stared at me. I said, go ahead, just throw the keys into the woods or hand them to me. I'll fucking chuck them in the woods. So he chucks them into the woods. I drive up to go get coffee. I forget about the whole thing. About 30 minutes later, there's a massive foot chase, officer assaulted from the Wake Sheriff's Department. They're running towards this exit ramp that I'm on. I go out there. I actually get involved in tackling the guy in the whole nine yards, and it was the same guy. And they were like, Tinsy, this isn't the same guy you were out on earlier, is it? And I was like, no. I had thrown the keys out. That car was stolen, and the dude was wanted for attempted murder out of South Carolina.
No way.
Yeah.
Well played.
Well, congratulations, Tansy.
Rookie move, baby. Rookie move.
Let me ask both of you this. Mike, why did you leave?
I left because, I had made the transition out to do my own thing in some other businesses, but I stayed part-time once I left full-time police work. Mm-hmm. I just saw a lot more opportunity in the future for myself and my family versus, making, $38,000 a year as a cop. And I did the math on my pension and I was like, this is stupid. But I still enjoyed the job, so I stayed part-time. And then it was really after the Rashad Brooks case happened down in Atlanta.
Yes.
The guy in the Wendy's lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I saw those prosecutors, and in like the Detroit area, the prosecutors are pretty much like the same way. They will railroad a cop if they get a chance. And I'm doing this part time because I still wanted to do that in the community and still keep my foot in that door and stay fresh and sharp with that skill set. But I was like, man, I'm putting all this on the line. Qualified immunity is taking hits in multiple states. And I am literally one traffic stop, one call away from being that guy who's going to be an example. And my family will have no recourse if I get carted off to jail and sit in there for whatever time and then have to fight and use all my own civil resources to do it, because my department is not going to fight that battle for me.
And I think there's a lot of guys that are probably out there like you who did the exact same thing, I would imagine, because it seems like a lot of people have quit over the last few years after everything that's gone on. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
80 cops have left Asheville in less than a year.
And Asheville's not a big town.
There's cops. I mean, it's like it's 400% increase in NYPD or something like that on early leaves and all kinds of stuff. And you know what? It's not even the climate. It's not the morons that hate the police. It's not the people in comment sections that are complete morons and just a cab for whatever reason. That's not even the reason cops are leaving. They're leaving because admin has become entirely corrupt with politics, way worse right now than I think it's probably ever been. And there's just no way that most admins are going to properly have their cops' backs.
Right.
And so my encouragement has been, hey, if you're super passionate and you're committed to this job, get out of the urban centers, go to a county, go someplace where they respect the police and that you have admin that's going to have your back and be in a different environment and still do the job and protect those people, because let them eat each other for a while, because you're not going to, you know, keep your sanity there.
Mm. You know, that's what Buckhead, which is a little township in Atlanta, that's where they were like, you know what, we're a prominent town in Atlanta, and we're going to go ahead and pull out of Atlanta. We want to secede from the city of Atlanta,
yep,
because the crime rate is just going up and up and up. They raised $600,000 to get their own police department. And with the city officials, the city manager, and the commissioners are coming down on Buckhead saying, like, well, that's because you guys are racist, and it's just because you have a nicer side of town. Well, why can't both the inner city and these other townships, why can't they all be equally safe? And it's because we want there to be crime, and I've seen it in Raleigh. We want there to be crime in the inner city. I don't know why. I don't know.
We as America, not you as police officers, right?
What's up?
You as like us as America, or the media, or are you talking about police officers?
No, I think it's definitely the media, or the powers that be, like your city managers and your city commissioners. You know, why are you building a $2.3 million YMCA in the inner city of America, but then putting all the policies in place to only allow white kids to go there?
Got it. So, in
what is the purpose?
Yeah,
like, let's build some really expensive townhomes in the ghetto that nobody else can afford. Let's put a Whole Foods in the ghetto that the people in the ghetto can't even afford.
Right.
And then we'll make it better that way.
Well, now you're talking about gentrification, which is an entirely separate issue. I mean, poverty is the number one predictor of crime on Earth since we started tracking what crime was.
Now that you guys have your own podcast, you're going to learn real quick that we got sponsors who pay for these shows to be on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. Love the GhostBed. 30% off everything in the entire store. The sheets don't get enough love. I love the sheets more than life itself. Recently, since I just moved back in, I have ordered all of my new things from GhostBed.com/drinkingbros and use my own promo code. With shame. I can't do it. I couldn't bring myself to not use the promo code that we say every single day, and I'm not sorry about it. But I got sheets. I got three new sets of sheets. I got two new pillows. I had to get a new mattress and an adjustable base because I lost most of it during that flood. The bed frame remained, though, that thing. It was made out of metal, so good for me. But good for you that you get a discount at GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. As always, they get a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there if you have decent credit. And it's got a little calculator. It gives you a running tally of what you can expect per month out of all the things you put inside your shopping carts. Go to GhostBed.com/drinkingbros today. Get yourself a new mattress set. Treat yourself, is what everybody's saying. Wow, nobody's saying that. Next up, D'Anthony? We get a new one here. We get stamps.com, hombre.
Yeah, stamps is a good way if you're running any kind of e-commerce shop whatsoever. If you're selling merch, if you're selling whatever, stamps is going to help you get that shipping done without having to create an entire supply chain management organization. Like, if you've got a small business, this is the only way to do it. Use something like Shopify and you use stamps.com as a throughput to the postal service, to shipping and whatever facet you need it, actually. They've got the best rates, you know. Will save you thousands of hours.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Of time and money as well. Click on that microphone at the top of the page on stamps.com, and you can get them dills, man.
Yeah, I mean, dude. Stamps is super famous, man. You've heard these on the biggest podcasts for years. I'm surprised we haven't had them. Like, stamps.com is the jam, dude.
Right.
If you're still going to the post office and still paying full price for postage, you're living in the wrong world, hombre. Go to stamps.com, and you don't have to do that anymore. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer, send letters, packages, and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com saves thousands of businesses hours and hours of time and money every single year. Huge fan of these guys. I can't believe this is the first time we've ever had them on. It's great, though. Mm. We're super amped. I mean, it literally just brings the Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. It is a must-have for any business. So whether you're a small, like, office sending invoices, or, you know, you got a side hustle, Etsy or something like that, or eBay shop shipping out orders. It just navigates the hybrid work life. Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. No wonder over 1 million businesses use Stamps.com for mailing and shipping. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, you just schedule a pickup or a drop-off. It's that simple. Stamps.com, you get 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS rates. I got a little bit ahead of myself there because I'm excited. Not to mention Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those spending. If you're spending like thousands of dollars on all this shit, man, this is pretty much the only way to save like a ton of money, dude. Stamps.com is a no-brainer. Saving you time and money. No wonder nearly 1 million small businesses use it. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with the promo code DRINKINBROS, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the page and type in Drinking Bros. That's Stamps.com, promo code Drinking Bros. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again, D'Anthony. Last but not least, we got a store open, dude. DrinkingBros.com. Yeah, the defund politicians. You got a new color in there. You got the gray. I like that gray. You're wearing it today.
Yeah, the gray color's in there. I mean, I think everything is in now. We've also got sometime over the next few days, you're going to start seeing a lot of other products that are not shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometime soon, you're also going to start seeing a lot of hats roll in. So keep your eye out for the next week or so as these products start to roll in. A lot of good deals, a lot of new stuff, a lot of potential Father's Day gifts on there.
Yeah, Father's Day is coming up Sunday. Go to drinkingbros.com. Get your father something nice. Or just buy it for yourself and then give it to your kids and then have them give it to you. Up to you.
Right. I mean, you can read the legal scholars from first century Rome, including the Jewish ones that wrote about this stuff. They were pretty clear. Poor people steal shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or they engage in ongoing criminal enterprises. And we have done a very poor job of making up for the fact that we put people into slavery for 400 years. I'm not in any way an advocate for what is it called? Reparations?
Yeah, reparations.
That's fucking stupid. Like, we see that every time there's a stimulus or tax check, we see what happens with that money. You know what I mean? It just goes away. Entrepreneurship, self-determinism, education, etc. is the solution to that problem. And it always will be. It's not a racial issue. It is a class issue, right?
Yeah.
And it's not even a class issue. It's just a fucking issue of data and statistics. Poor people that feel disenfranchised and no equity in a community will not engage with that community, and that can't work. It can't work over time. So whatever has to happen to fix that problem has to happen. I agree with you that people, the powers that be, as it were, like to maintain that. Because government likes to feel like it's saving it. I mean, the Democratic Party especially has done that for 45, 50 years now. They have intentionally kept people poor the same way that the healthcare industry here has kept people sick.
Well, they need the votes. Mm-hmm. And in this Buckhead case, by the way, I actually know the answer to this, Tansy. I grew up about 15 minutes outside of Buckhead. Buckhead was shopping, bars, all the fun stuff. I talked to my mom about a week ago, and she was telling me about all the violence and crime that's going on in Buckhead. I was shocked, and I didn't actually know about it, to be honest with you. And then she kind of filled me in on it. But having grown up there most of my life, the Fulton County itself, the county is too big. So it encompasses downtown Atlanta all the way to like 40 minutes out to like the white suburbs. Yeah. And it is just too massive to handle as one police force. Therefore, yes, you want it to be broken up so at least you can handle smaller areas and everything else. It doesn't have anything to do with race. It's just how the size of these cities to try to get out to these places is fucking tough, man. It's just too big of a county. They've tried for years. even when I was a kid, to break it up into like a north and south part of the county or east and west. And nothing has worked. Nobody's voted on it. So that's what you're seeing there. But, you know, what they're saying on the media is now that it's gone into the white neighborhoods and the high rises and things like that, and the malls, the shopping malls where people are getting stabbed and robbed and all that stuff. Well, now people care. No, I think crime is up everywhere. And like Dan was saying about the poverty angle, when you live that close, because Buckhead is real close to the ghetto. I mean, it's real close to downtown Atlanta. And when you live that close, you're going to go out to Buckhead and fuck shit up because there's nicer shit there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially if you make your money doing burglaries and things like that or whatever it is.
Selling, that is the closest
selling
place.
Drugs to young white kids.
Yeah. Yes,
whatever,
yes,
whatever, dude. Whatever the case is. But we've had this... this rationale, this fucking theory, or this fucking strategy over the last 50 years or so, that somehow putting these two things together, putting rich and poor together in the same place, is somehow going to solve an issue. That is fucking nonsense. Poverty is the issue. It's not an issue of who is next to whom. That's nonsense. There's like no fucking data that suggests that that would be the case. But there's a mountain, there's a fucking 2,000 years of data that say that poverty is the cause of this shit. But we do nothing to solve poverty.
Right.
Not one goddamn thing have we done to solve systemic generational poverty in this country. Not one time, not ever. It's never happened. Right? The only time anybody really tried was Reconstruction. And the Associated, as I've told you people before, the Associated Press and Western Union helped Rutherford B. Hayes steal an election so they could kick federal troops out of the South, end Reconstruction, and begin Jim Crow, right? So don't let these media fucking cunts tell you that they're somehow emotionally or fucking psychologically involved somehow in being on the right side of history. They're full of shit. They're involved in fucking getting clicks.
Yep.
Nothing more. Politicians are involved in getting power. Nothing more.
Yeah.
The end.
And since you brought that up, Mike, is that why the media has so much hatred for cops? Because you don't really see positive stories about cops in the media unless it's some crazy, you know, shooting and somebody's helping somebody out during a mass shooting or something like that. Is it more beneficial that there is a divide between the police and the citizens for the media's sake?
100%, I think. I mean, if it bleeds, it leads, right? Mm-hmm. As the saying goes, like, they love it. For the same, politicians want to maintain the divide because it allows them to position themselves for power and influence and maintain what it is that they want to have. And then the media is in the same position where, hey, they're driven by dollars at the end of the day. We're not talking about like the integrity of the free press. We're talking about what exactly do we need to title this to get the most people to click on it so that our advertising revenue, you know, it stays the same, increases, expands, whatever. So they have an inherent interest in keeping that divide, even though, you know, you'll talk to a lot of media personalities. I've known people that are on, like, you know, news anchors or whatever here in Metro Detroit, and they in general are supportive of the police, but they just run with the stories, and it's all planned anyway, right? From the top down, they all say the same shit every night, right, on every channel regarding the same situation. It's not like there's independent thought going on in most of these outlets.
And for you, Tansy, what has crime been like in the Raleigh-Durham area? I know, you know, people make jokes from North Carolina about Durham and shit like that. Has it gone up or down since you left the force there?
It was going up ever since I was a cop, which was funny. And you know, when we had the new chief come in, and I'm sure she had good intentions, but crime was up like 22%. Violent crime was up 22% in her third year. I don't understand how you keep your job when you're doing 22% worse than what you were. You know what I mean? If you hired Archelli or whatever, if you guys were making 22% less once you hired Archelli to do all your sales and marketing, wouldn't you get rid of her?
For sure.
Why
but
would
you're,
you
you're,
keep her?
You're making a one-to-one comparison between a salesperson and a police chief. A police chief cannot determine people's behavior. Like,
yeah,
that's always been like the president affecting gas prices to me. Like, sometimes that is the case because of bad trade deals and upsetting the markets and things like that. But we like to think of the stock market or gas prices as some kind of bellwether for how the economy is doing is simply not true, right? It's just not how it works. And the president certainly doesn't have that big of an effect on it in most cases. How much effect can a police chief have? Like, look, how many?
I think way more than you think she can.
No fucking way. I don't believe that at all.
I think she can. I mean, from what I've saw as a lonely patrol officer, our police chief would come out hard on wolf packing. One time we pulled a car over, it was on New Bern Avenue. Mm. We had six people in the car, all known gang members, all registered gang members. That means that they went to prison and then literally told the guards that they were gang members and right. then they become registered. Right. And so we had all of them. So we called in for check-in officers, right? We ended up recovering a couple of guns out of the car, and a couple of those guns had been stolen. But what's the rule in combat, right? You want to have 3-1 odds, right? 3-1 odds.
Yeah.
3-1 odds.
Yeah.
There you go.
In the blue book.
So if we got six people in one car, mm-hmm. and shit, six of them are fucking certified gang members, how many police officers do you think would be reasonable to handle all those guys?
Right. I mean, you don't just want patrol guys, though. You want, yes, you want like fucking SWAT or somebody that's...
No, that's not going to happen. There's never, no way are they going to give you SWAT to handle a car full of six certified.
Right. Well, I mean, look,
SWAT make fun of you for life.
Sure. We can have a conversation about whether or not, I mean, look, that might be a reason to stop the vehicle and do a search. Maybe the courts could figure that out. But honestly, those laws where you can't be in public with other known, whatever the fuck is, they're bullshit. We cannot allow that shit.
I don't remember if it was for speeding or for littering. I think it was for littering.
Littering.
And I think they threw a bag of Wendy's out at the window. And it just happened to be six gang members and a few guns. But the chief herself pulled up on that traffic stop and said, I want four of you to clear, leaving only two officers. Two officers with six known gang members
right.
and guns.
Now that's really stupid.
Yeah. Excuse was because the perception looks like you're wolf packing.
Okay. Well, that's really stupid. Sure.
What is wolf packing? Forgive
Super
me.
Stupid.
I don't know.
It's
that
like
means.
Sending 30 cops to deal with two or three people just to intimidate them and shit.
Oh, gotcha.
But
gotcha.
Like, I understand that's a very specific example, but
or just me. When I would go, they would call just me the wolf.
Yeah,
pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't.
He's Zach Galifianakis. He just lost some weight and all his hair.
Exactly. But in your situation, Mike, like, can the police chief make a difference?
If the police chief is a person of integrity and character, a police chief can make a great difference as a go-between the politicians that are his bosses on one side and the men and women that he's leading on the other. I mean, this comes down to like, what are the qualities of a good leader?
Right.
I mean, yeah, they can, and I'm sure there's tons across the country. I don't want to say all police chiefs, but the reality is that police chiefs, by almost entirety of definition, are political because
right.
they are appointed and chosen in a way that is by city administrators, city council, mayor,
yeah.
however the structure is. So they are always stuck in this middle position of I've got politicians on one side that are my bosses and I'm leading cops that aren't politicians. And so, yeah, they can make a difference, but it's just, unfortunately, it doesn't happen a lot in my experience and across the board from conversations with most cops. I have the same perception of most admins.
I think that when you're a cop, if you become the rank of major or above, at least in the Raleigh rank structure, you're pretty much a politician at that point. And we all know what politicians are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for sure. All I'm saying is that if you have a city council and a mayor like Austin does, the police chief is not going to be able to. And also, we're talking about manipulating data here. You say that crime goes up 22%. What does that mean? Maybe the cops were better at finding crime. You know what I mean? That's not the same thing as there being more of it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I just wonder like how much of an effect that actually has. And the point of all that isn't that we shouldn't have police chiefs or that all police chiefs are bad or that they're irrelevant. It's that without the fucking proper support, they are essentially irrelevant. I mean, I went through this at immigration back in the day. I worked for immigration doing intel work. Everything we sent to ICE to HSI, they wouldn't fucking prosecute anything because we were in the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. And they were afraid of getting bad case law, so they wouldn't prosecute anything. Like, they wouldn't prosecute anything because they were worried that their prosecution would get taken up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then fucking those crazy assholes would be like, all right, fucking everybody gets in now, or whatever the fuck, right? There's like one specific one called the Ching case, C-H-I-N-G. You can look that shit up in the Ninth Circuit. It'll make you fucking want to blow your brains out. And that's what I wanted to do. I worked there for a year, and everything we sent up was just like, oh, fucking, we can't do anything. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck this shit. So I can imagine what it feels like to be a police officer with the teeth taken out of you. Not just the enforcement part, because most cops that I know, and I know fucking hundreds of cops, want to go out and fucking come home. That's it. They want to make their community safer.
Yeah.
Like, they feel a responsibility.
You want to make the world a better place. And, right. And, like, sometimes when you have these really bad streets in a town, like in Raleigh, you have Martin Street, right? And it's just, it's overran with crime. It's an open-air drug market, prostitution, whole nine yards. And we had a new young sergeant that got promoted, and his goal was like, hey, I'm the sergeant now, right? And I could see Dan being the same way. I'm the sergeant now. And are you kidding me that one street right here is fucking up all the statistics in this whole entire district? No, fuck that. Everybody on Friday night will be their ass on Martin Street, and we're going to shut this shit down because that's not going to be the problem. It's easy, solved.
Right.
We're going to do it. Well, we did it, right? And then, of course, it came back, I mean, within less than 3 days. Hey, not doing that anymore. It looks bad. It looks like you're policing the neighborhood instead of community of the neighborhood. And then what they did was they formed a community squad. I was on that squad, and there was a house across the street from the worst gas station in all of Raleigh where all the shootings and stabbings take place. And we got to go inside. And one of the old man, who was a very sweet man, it was 8:30 in the morning. He was wearing his collared shirt and his little tie. And he sits on the porch for about 30 minutes and disappears in his house the rest of the day. He kind of reminded me of Gran Torino. What was that? Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
He was similar to that guy. And he invited us in. And I was like, dude, this guy's got to be fucking mafia because how is he letting us in this house in front of all these people and not getting shot or stabbed?
Yeah.
We got in there and I said, hey man, we're a community squad. We're just trying to talk to the community and see what you guys think we could do better. And he said, man, everybody's got y'all fooled. And he said, these are the most powerful words that anybody's ever said to me in policing. He said, when you guys are out here, the crime stops. And when you leave, the crime gets picked up.
Well, that's why even in the Bay Area, during the whole bullshit last summer, I think it was actually CBS that did the polling. 83% of people either wanted the same amount or more cops. Mm-hmm. These are black neighborhoods, West Oakland, where there's actual crime. Because you know what people don't want? To get shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's a small amount of people that are involved in criminal enterprise, and everybody else suffers because of it. Now, the thing you're talking about with flooding one area, I mean, imagine how racist it would be if a fire department showed up and only put water on the parts that were on fire.
Yeah.
You should immediately cancel all fire departments after that. Like, why would you direct resources where they're necessary? Like,
I don't understand it.
The fuck out of here.
I don't understand.
People are idiots. The point isn't to, we're not all on the same path here. Some people are trying to make things better. Some people are trying to profit from misery, right? Whether they're profiting socially or whether they're profiting financially or whether they're profiting from some kind of power control. Everybody's trying to profit off of this stuff. Well, not everybody, but it's actually a small number of people, but it's like, you know how it is, Eric, and I'm sure it's the same way with cops as well, but veterans are notoriously bad at advocating for themselves because they're usually just sucking it up and getting the job done. So when it comes time to ask for help, when it comes time to plead your case, you're like, why should I have to explain this shit? It's fucking obvious. And we don't naturally defend ourselves. We're worried about defending everybody else. And it becomes a real fucking problem when people aren't prepared to do that. You know what I mean? But the reason it becomes such a huge problem is because now there's only one voice out there, and it's some asshole fucking neckbeard on the internet who thinks he's a reporter that is just fucking pummeling people with misinformation all the time. Like, if these voices from this show that's coming up aren't heard, whether you're right or wrong, at least the conversation's happening, then there's only the one voice out there, and that voice is madness.
Yeah.
And it cannot continue.
And that's one of the main reasons, like, we wanted to have this show, because we feel, Dan and I, that cops just don't have a voice. Mike, obviously, you have a tremendous following, so you're able to get out there pretty quickly. And we're extremely excited about this show. And then to go back to your point earlier, like, when I go out at night or I take my kid to a ball game, wherever I am, I feel safer that there's more police there. I don't give a shit where I am. I want more police there where it's like, all right, great, man. If anything were to happen today, if I walk into a soccer stadium or a bar with my friends at night, it's like, well, the police are here, you know?
Yeah.
So if shit gets wild, they're here. I don't know why it's a negative stereotype to have that feeling of, oh, man, they're watching us.
Well, as long as it's not the FBI, right? The FBI, the FBI, who apparently had a great deal to do with planning the so-called insurrection. I don't know if you've seen Tucker Carlson lately.
I have,
but
yeah,
there's evidence now that some of these groups, including the group that was trying to kidnap your governor, Mike, apparently two of the people out of the five were
Is it okay if I'm sort of all right with that?
Two of the people, so there were five people involved in that conspiracy to kidnap Governor Whitmer. One was an FBI agent, one was his informant. 40% of the group worked for the FBI. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, look, I mean, I think if you're going to be an agent, you've got to be a yes man. You've got to be a yes man from the beginning to get there. They don't want diversity of thought in the FBI. Shit, they don't want diversity of thought in the fucking police department. Mm. Go through a police department interview right now. You know, if you have to be very specific on where you're going to side with things. And if you're not on board, then you're not going to get hired. And that's why a lot of the upcoming police officers that we have right now, what I'm scared of is that all these cops, the way that they're being groomed to be become cops starting in the interview processes, is they're not hiring anybody but yes men. And I think that because we're having such a shortage in officers wanting to be officers,
right.
then nobody can afford to be picky.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to have? You're going to have a police department full of yes men. And when those yes men are told, go take the guns from so-and-so or go do this unconstitutionally, you know, they're just going to be like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
when
yes,
you're
yes,
when you are the like when you are the when you are the conduit between power and control and physical force, mm-hmm. right, you have a responsibility to question every single order you're given that might end in tragedy. Right.
I can't tell you how many arguments that we've been in over, with really good guys, all of us good guys. Like Mike and I could be having an argument about a search warrant where I'm like, Mike, dude, I don't think you've got enough of that fucking search warrant. And Mike would be like, the fuck I don't. This motherfucker's been doing this, 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 and that. And then I say, well, yeah, but look at this, this, and this. And then Ross pipes in and says, yeah, well, I think this. And then all of a sudden you got four cops who are arguing over a search warrant. And then you've got a sergeant that says, all right, if we're arguing this much over a search warrant, we're just not going to do it. Because obviously, you know, it's not reasonable, and we're going to cut it off. And those are the discussions that you have in departments, and the news would never tell you that. I mean, you don't have cops that are just like, oh, Mike wants to do a search warrant? I'm fucking game on.
Right.
Yeah. He wants to go violate somebody's rights? Fuck yeah, I love Mike the cop. Let's go violate some rights, baby.
But hey, listen, when the Wolfpack writes a warrant, it gets signed.
I love that you've given yourself your own nickname of the Wolfpack, dude.
And he speaks it in third person.
It's going to stick. You know that's going to stick, Mike.
You got to, yeah.
At the end of our shows, we do this Drinking Bro of the Week, which is obviously somebody who's inspired you or helped you become who you are. Both you guys have been on the show numerous times. Eric, you obviously host Tailgate Legends on our network on Saturday. You don't know a lot about sports, but you know a lot about food, and we're proud of you. Are you guys doing something similar at the end of your show on Failure to Stop? We're at the end of the show, you're kind of saluting someone?
We should.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that.
I would do like a behind the badge segment or something because there's
nice.
Yeah, there's so much that goes on, and there's so many stories. We get we try to do the best we can with Drinking Bro of the Week. They come in so fast that we read them live. But a lot of these stories are fallen officers, and a lot of these stories aren't getting told. So maybe that could be something cool.
That might be fun because a lot of cops, they don't want you to know all the great things that they've done. And so it'd be cool if other officers, you know, it's like you have that one cop, like Mike does something amazing, but Mike's like, fuck, I don't want any recognition from it, but I know he did it. It'd be cool to be able to like submit that in and say like, hey, right. Yo, like Mike is never going to submit himself for this.
Well, it's actually in the Bible.
The motherfucker did a great job.
You're not. It's in the Bible. You're not supposed to brag. You're supposed to allow other people to brag for you. I believe it's in Colossians. Yeah. I believe Paul wrote that, if I'm not mistaken. Not that I believe in any of that shit.
No.
It's
the opposite of Paul.
Mike sure does, so he gets that reference. Like I said before, we are notoriously bad at self-promotion. There's nothing. You can show me anything, and I'll be fine with it. But if you compliment me, I'm probably going to turn around and walk out of the room because it makes me extremely uncomfortable. But it's a problem. Like if somebody doesn't tell those good stories, like I said before, then the news is just dominated with bullshit all the time. And I got into an argument a couple weeks ago with Chris Hansen about this shit. He kept talking about systemic racism. Like, dude, the data doesn't back up what you're saying. You as part of the media continuing to use that phrase and accept that premise without any evidence is fucking damaging this country. It's just simply not true. Right. And he walked it back, obviously, because he knows
when I was watching that, I bullshit. Thought I was watching like the lost episode of The Office. It was the most awkward The Office moment.
Yeah.
On Drinking Bros.
Yeah.
Like there's a long pause.
I let
there's a lot Scott's of Scott's Tots.
It was right up there with Scott's Tots. I mean, Dan was like, he was shushing Chris Hansen. He's like, shush. It was incredible. That might be my favorite episode.
It was pretty fun. But the point of that wasn't that I owned Chris Hansen, and I did. But that's not the point. The point is that if somebody doesn't tell the good stories, then people like that, who are too dumb, frankly, in my opinion, or too irresponsible to realize that it's not true, or people that are maliciously pushing something they know isn't true, they win.
Right.
The silent majority cannot stay silent during times of conflict. It's your time to shine, guys.
I agree.
If you see something, say something.
And therefore, our Drinking Bro of the Week is actually the Austin PD. There was a mass shooting here a few days ago, and those guys were on it like that on 6th Street. Look, we've gone out to 6th Street 1,000 times probably. Yeah. There is, fuck, man, how many thousands of people would you say out on a Friday and Saturday night?
A lot. I mean, and the shooter was, I think, a 17-year-old black kid.
Mm-hmm.
So wasn't his picture, name, description, nothing was in any of the major press.
Because he's a minor. You can't.
No. He's being tried as an adult.
Yeah.
So
doesn't matter now.
They actually released it today. So his picture was...
They wouldn't give a description.
Yeah, they wouldn't give a description.
One local, including the Austin Statesman, one local organization or one local press did, and it was a skinny black kid.
Right.
That's what they said. But they didn't want to put that in, I guess, maybe fat shaming.
Did they go into his bedroom to see what kind of flags were hanging on his wall?
Did they see his social media,
what kind of rhetoric he was putting out on social media? Did they go through all that stuff and just dispel it to the community?
No, they didn't do anything. And in addition to that, the Associated Press has put out a statement, I think yesterday actually, that they're no longer going to put the names of suspects' names or descriptions in their news articles.
No, only for minor crimes.
For minor crimes.
Oh, for minor crimes.
So for like shoplifting.
I'll finish the show on a quick note. I did a sexual assault right before I quit. I had a sexual assault case at a movie theater, and the woman wouldn't. I said, "What was the suspect look like?" And she's like, "Well, I don't like to. He was he." I said, "Was he black or white?" She goes, "Ooh, no, I don't want to."
Was she a white woman?
And I was like, was he skinny or fat? And she was like, that's rude. And I was like, you were just sexually assaulted. Like, you just had a guy grope your tits in your ass.
At the theater, yeah.
And you don't want to say whether he's black, white, skinny, or fat?
Well, they finally posted that kid's picture this morning, but, you know, it got buried. And
Yeah, of course it got buried. There's a flow chart that the media goes through whenever somebody gets shot, like how they describe. So... If there's a bunch of violence in Chicago over the weekend, they'll say the numbers, but not the names of the people or the description of them.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a mass shooting by a white person, they tell you all of that stuff, but leave the number out. And then when it comes time to talk about gun violence and gun control and all that bullshit, they conflate inner city violence with mass shooting violence and somehow try to justify banning assault rifles, as they're so frequently called, though 67% of all gun murders are committed with handguns,
right,
and less than 2% with rifles of any kind. So what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's convenient to take all that inner city crime and lump it into your anti-gun bullshit. But when it comes time to hold communities accountable for their own violence and their contribution to the violence, which is the most of it, by the way, Crickets.
However, you will not hear crickets on you guys' new show, Failure to Stop. As we were talking, I got the updates as we speak. So you guys are officially on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you can find podcasts. They are up. All you have to do, hit the subscribe button. Boom. Subscribe to that. scroll down, leave a 5-star review, and then just write a one-liner about Failure to Stop. The trailer is up now. It is currently available everywhere that you listen to podcasts. Spotify and iTunes are the two biggest ones, obviously, but it's everywhere in between. And then the RSS feed gets ripped.
We have been rated, this just in, the number one trailer released on a cop-related podcast this week. So,
yeah. Is that real? Is that a real deal?
No, we were just, we were just
really awesome.
We were the only
clouded. I would have. Yeah.
You were just the only one.
Yeah,
we're gonna get there. That's the summit, man. That's the summit. We're starting to climb right now.
It is. You can watch Failure to Stop on Mike the Cop's YouTube channel and his Facebook page every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Audio will immediately follow as soon as that show is over. So that way you guys can watch it first. It's always nicer to watch a podcast. And if you can't, then you can listen to it on audio afterwards.
Love the comments, man. I love the comments on the live streams. You can't have that on the audience.
No, you can't. You can't. But we appreciate you guys being here. Welcome to the Tetherball Academy Media family. Mike the Cop, Eric Tanzi, we appreciate it. Can't wait for the show to start. I think Dan will be on episode 3, I believe. Yes.
And I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, same. So for D'Anthony Holloway, Ross Patterson, Mike the Cop, and Eric Tanzi, this is Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.